and hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we certainly count it, Lord, an honor and a privilege, Lord, to be able to be gathered here once again, Lord, together with your people, Lord. Father, how precious it is, oh God, to, Lord, be with fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, knowing that, God, that where we stand, Lord, tonight, oh God, that truly it's your grace that has brought us, Lord, to the place that we're at, Lord. And Father, it's, Lord, from those times, those journeys, the footsteps, Lord, that we even, Father, draw, Lord, strength from those experiences, oh God. And knowing that, Lord, that every step of the way, God, you have cared for us, Lord. You've taken care of us, oh God, and you've watched over us, Lord. And to bring us into this place, into this moment, Lord. So, Father, we ask that, God, as you have, Lord, set and ordained, Lord, these meetings, we believe that, Lord. And we just ask that, God, that may you, Father, Lord, just, Lord, pour out refreshing, oh God, into our hearts, Lord, this evening, Lord, and continue, Lord, Father, the things that, Lord, that you have been ministering to us. We ask that you would just help us, oh God, as a people tonight, Lord, a speaker in here, help us to move out of the way, Lord, because, Lord, truly it's you that we need, Lord. We need you to come on the scene, Lord. Father, you know every need, Lord. You know every situation, oh God. And Lord, to know that you're mindful of every need, Lord. I just pray that, God, that you would help us, Lord, that may we be able to move out of our own thinking, oh God, and be moved into that realm, Lord Jesus, Lord, to your thoughts, Lord. God, because we are so limited, Lord, in ourselves, Lord. We're just here in these finite senses, Lord. And oh God, that's all we can see, Lord. We can look and try to operate by those things, but God, it fails us, Lord. But Lord, when we can, Lord, move God into that place, oh God, to where that it's your thoughts, Lord, and that your thoughts are life, oh God. And we can move to that place, oh God, that Lord Jesus, we can begin to see, Lord, all things are possible, Lord. Lord, I pray that God and you, knowing every need, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, Father. We ask that, Lord, if we've said anything or done anything wrong, God, any thought, Lord, that we've entertained, God, that would have been wrong, Lord, please forgive us, Lord, I pray, oh God. And may you have your way, Lord, in this service, oh God, and take control, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. Amen. Certainly good to be here in the house of the Lord. And maybe as you're turning with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin to look here into the scriptures tonight a little bit. And so glad to be here with you once again. And certainly enjoyed the service last night and what the Lord had to say to us last night. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you come into services, and I know that Brother Jerry experienced this too, and you know, Brother Phil, you come into a service, and sometimes when you have to, well, I guess it's hard either way, whether you're the first speaker up or you're the next speaker up or the last speaker up. And you know, it's always, no matter if you're just the only speaker that would be there, you still want to find what the mind of the Lord is. And it's just to see how that God would just so divinely place things. I believe that God really has things in control. And so we, you know, it's always those things you want to be right, sensitive to him. And that's what we want to be. We want to be sensitive and allow him just to take the word and break it to our hearts for what we have need of. Amen. Amen. It's good to have some of the people from home, brothers and sisters that are here with us, Brother Doug, Sister Betsy, and Brother Bill and Sister Mary, and my mother. I'm glad to have my wife and my children here with me as well. I always love having her around. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's try to read here. Let me see where I want to go. Where I want to start with here. Okay, let's go to verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So you recognize there's an atmosphere that even that the people live in, to where they look at that there's just a continuing. Things are just continuing as they always have. And even though you can talk with people and they can say, oh yeah, I understand, I heard this about the economy, yeah, we see this, the unemployment rate, yeah, we see Russia doing this, we see this doing this, but yet they're not looking at it in a manner that it's an ending of all things. They're looking at it that, what's the solution? What's going to take place? Who's going to pull us out of this? See, they have a hope that something's going to happen. You know, maybe this president will come up, or maybe this person. See, they're looking for those things. And that's the difference. That's what separates us as the believer from just the nominal world. Because the outlook that we have, by the grace of God, we're not looking for something to come and turn this nation around or this world around. We know that there's only one hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we have that testimony for our own lives. There wasn't anything that could turn my life around except Jesus Christ. Is that right? Same thing for your life tonight. There's only one thing that can turn it around, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice this. It says, for they, verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. So they choose this. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count or think of slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We'll just let you have your seats. May the Lord bless you, bless his word as you're being seated. And let's continue to read here just a few moments. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. See, the grace of God has given us an eyesight that's beyond this world. Yes. Amen. Amen. And that eyesight that we have that's beyond this world, it's faith. Yes. And it's the faith of God that where we recognize we have to live in this world, we have to operate while we're here, but we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Yes. And the only way we can do that is because we first have come in contact with that living God. Amen. Like Abraham, who came in contact with Melchizedek, it sent Abraham to looking where he was walking, and Abraham was looking to come upon that city at any time because he had already met the ambassador of that city, the king and priest of that city. And that's the same thing it is with us as believers. When we come in contact with God, then we begin to look beyond this world. Now we recognize that, you know, that we still have to live in this world. You know, I know that you know this statement. You know, we got to plant potatoes. But at the same time, you're not to be the resident potato expert, where you know of all the different varieties. You know everything about all of those. You just plant them. They're there to eat. They're there to sustain your natural body. But we're not to be caught up with the earthly material things. We're to be caught up with heavenly things. Amen.
So when we're looking at this in the scripture here, we take of this even in verse 14, and I just want to read through these here just to kind of lay some background and that we'll work with here a little bit this evening. He says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Be diligent. That word means to be earnest in accomplishing or promoting or striving after anything. We're not truly, when the Holy Spirit has moved into your life, you're no longer struggling to live a Christian life. But our struggle, our desire is to bear the fruit of the one who lives on the inside. That's the desire. That's the difference in the believer's struggle. Our desire, we have received a strength that equips us to be able to bring into subjection all of the other areas of our life. Is that right? 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, "Dearly beloved, having therefore these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That means working and bringing to a completion what he himself has already begun in your life. If it spoke to us, cleanse yourselves, we've got to have access to something that we're able to do this with. He's not talking about our own abilities that we're working in reformation. That's not how we cleanse ourselves. We cleanse ourselves by dying and bringing our lives subject to the inner man. It first starts out with a new birth, and then that journey, it works from the inside to the outside, perfecting, completing holiness in the grand divine reverence of God. So we're not doing it under fear. You know why? When we're moved as believers and the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, we're not moved out of fear like, "Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell if I don't do this." No, our reverence is, I want to please him. I want to do what is pleasing to him. I don't want anything that stands between me and him. I know this might sound very carnal, but I think you'll get the point. My dog I have at home, I miss him very much right now. But, Brock, if I put something in between, just this like this, between me and him, I can put a little Rubbermaid box between me and him. And he don't like nothing between me and him. He'll whine. I'll stand on this side, we'll go around it. He'll whine. I looked at my wife the one day, I said, "You know what? That's how we ought to be, and believers ought to be with the Lord. I don't want nothing between me and the Lord. If there's anything that starts getting between, even the slightest little thing, he starts whining." Oh God, let that be the call. And truly, that is the desire of our life. We don't want anything between us and the Lord. Now, when we're looking at this scripture here in verse 14, we're talking about a characteristic of the elect. And when we're looking at this, Peter goes on to say in verse 15, "And account that," or to think of, "regard that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto you, hath written unto you." Think about that. How many are thankful for the long suffering of the Lord? Thankful that God himself would even keep dealing with us when we were out of the way. But let's bring it on down. And to work with us and minister to us, even in the areas of our life that we still need to grow and overcome in. Aren't you thankful? That's the long suffering of God. Sometimes you wonder and say, "Man, here we go. Part 52, part 53, part 55. That's the long suffering of God. That's God trying to get our attention and bring it from this angle, bring it from this angle. He keeps moving all around. That's God's long suffering. Yes, amen. And that's something we value and recognize, that if I'm alive on this earth, another moment, another time, another service, that is the grace of God that's given to me that I might further grow. Amen. So here, God gives to us what we need to meet the challenge of the hour. Now notice, he's speaking of this conditions. As he says, "Now, as also in all his epistles," he's speaking of Paul, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest." What's he saying? If they're unlearned, that means they're not taught. And you can't be taught unless you got the teacher.
Amen.
You see, it takes the teacher in you to catch what the teacher is teaching. Is that right? It's the Holy Spirit that works within our lives to break and reveal those things that he's saying, that we might see how to apply them in our life. But they that are unlearned, not taught by the Spirit of God, they're unstable. They wrestle these things and looking over these things. They're unstable. He says, look, he says, they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. This is another characteristic. This is not a characteristic of the elect, though, because the elect, by the God's grace, have the ability to hear what the Spirit saith. You say amen? Amen. That's the truth. They have the ability to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He says, ye therefore, beloved, look at this. Seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Yeah. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit, God, is not asserting in this scripture that a person that's sealed away can be lost.
No.
That's not what he's doing. But if you'll notice the Holy Spirit, down through the church ages, he'll always speak to that true vine and he addresses the false vine. But if you'll notice, the true vine, they will take all of the word and they'll apply all of it to their life. They'll allow all of their life to be examined by their word.
Amen.
But the false will say, I'm good to go. Everything's good. I'm good. I love the Lord. Everything's fine with me. I'm good to go. But you see, the elect of God, the true of God, they hear him revealing himself, and they take an examination of their life. Every service, every time we come together, the Bible says, in concerning that of communion, and we believe we're having communion with our Lord Jesus, don't we? Not just when we come to the house of God, but every day of our life. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. That's what we do when we're looking into the word of God. We're looking into the mirror of God's word. We're examining our lives.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like mirrors that make me look chunky. If I had my way about it, I'd have mirrors in my house that made me look slender. But you know what? I don't care what that mirror looks like. If I get a mirror that makes me look, you know, the physique and everything like that, it don't matter. When I go to the store, I still got to buy the certain pant size. You see, I'll go by something that I like. And every one of us are drawn to that tendency.
Yeah.
Come on now. Yeah. We like to hear the things, you know, that God would describe about our lives. But then when it gets down, he starts pointing out and saying, you need to start working in this area right here.
Right.
You start saying, hey, where's that? Where's that mirror? Oh, it's the same mirror. It's just the concentration is in a certain area. You know, when you try on a suit jacket, you're not talking about the waist. You're talking about the shoulders. You're talking about right in here, everything, right? That's what you're talking about. You're not talking about waistline. But when you start looking at pants, you're talking about waistline, inseam, all those other things. You see, there's different areas. And when God himself is dealing with our life, it's not for us. You know, it's like this. If I look in the mirror and I see, man, I don't like what I'm seeing in the mirror. Yeah, I don't care what you do. I can't go out and buy a belt at the store. I think they've got them. But you can put a belt around the middle area. Just having a belt around the middle area ain't going to shrink the middle area. Are you with me? When God deals with things in our life and we want to try to start handling just that area of our life, that's not how we handle it. We handle it by our diet. Now don't worry, I know you're thinking, man, you preaching like this. We got a dinner after service. Don't put any goodies away now. I'm not talking about the natural, I'm talking about the spiritual now. You see, we've become so concentrated upon, oh man, anybody ever went and tried on things, and you try things on, and all of a sudden, you know, you got this size, you what you wear. You go try these on, and you go, I put everything back, man, and nothing, this ain't fitting, I'll put everything back. You're discouraged, and you walk out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, you see what it is that what has to happen is you can't just go home and say, you know what, I got to concentrate on this. You know what you have to do. You exercise and you diet. And what does it do? It affects everything else. Everything else will start to proportion itself. And that's just a simple thing in the natural. But how much greater in the spiritual? It's our spiritual diet that has an effect on our lives. I tell you what, the preaching of the word that comes forth in these services, it's something that is to stir us up for when we're outside of these doors. Amen. To where we're feasting in his presence, because if we're born of the Spirit of God, we are dwelling in the house of our King, and we have come at his bid to eat at his table. Amen. We're not like Vashti that says, I'll eat my food, but I'll eat it at my house. But we say, Lord, I've come to your house at your request, because your desire is the desire of my heart. And that's what God was wanting. That's why he chose Esther. He wanted somebody that would heed to his desire. Not somebody that would tell him, this is what my desire is. This is what I want. Vashti said she what she wanted. He said, you know what? You put her away. But Esther, she submitted herself. She was given her choice. Is that right? She was brought into the king's house. That didn't take away her free moral agency. But what happened is that free moral agency yielded to the desire that was on the inside. And it brought her life in subjection to the place to where that the king himself delighted in her. What brought that delight in her? It was because her willingness to submit her life to the king's chamberlain. Do you have that resolve tonight? Say, God, I'm not going to try to figure out and guess and try to give you this, and I think you want this, and I think you want that. But what he wants is just more of you and me. That's what he wants, just us to give him more of ourselves. Amen. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit was even speaking to us last night. Oh my. So here we find this in the scripture, 2 Peter 3:17, as we read, lest thou being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You see, when we look at this here in the scripture, that word, to be led away, it means to condescend. Listen to this. Condescend to yield or submit oneself to lowly things. Now, you don't have to think way out there. But you have to think that when we yield ourselves to a place to where we start to act like, well, this is what my earthly heritage always did. We're submitting ourselves to lowly employment. You understand what I'm saying? So-and-so crossed my path. They did me wrong. Be careful. Don't submit yourself to lowly employment. That's being led away. That's what this, what the word means. Condescend. Is that right? We are people that are to dwell and live in heavenly places. Our body is not in heavenly places, but we have a representative in heavenly places, and we have that witness in our soul that my theophany is there in that assembly. Amen. We have that blessed assurance, and we are to operate, live in this world, but not allow our lives to be operated or under the influence of this earth. So we got a choice. We don't want to yield ourselves and go away in that manner, because look at the scripture says, being led away with the error of the wicked. See, he wasn't calling. He said beloved. He didn't say the beloved was wicked. He's talking about going about in the same manner. That word error, it means a wrong mode of acting, a mental strain. You recognize if your mind gets a little twisted, a little wrong, leaning wrong in a certain way, it's even hard for you to receive the word the right way. Oh yeah, God can speak right to you, but it's a little hard because of how you're leaning in your mind, even because maybe it can be how the enemy will turn things against you in your own mind. Or you can get things set in your mind with situations and how this situation needs to be worked out or how this needs to be resolved. And you can start straying in your mind, and it's hard for you to receive the word of God. But see, look at this. It's like this. Ain't none of you, not me, not you. We cannot change this earth the way it is. No. You agree with that? Amen. I was looking out here this morning when I was out there. You know, I came in from eating breakfast, and we went over there to the, walked into the hotel I was in. And I'm looking on the screen. And I told the boys, I said, look what they're doing. They had it, we're down in Costa Rica. They had these big leatherback turtles, you know. And they're taking the eggs from these turtles. They got a place marked out, a huge area on one beach, and they have it marked out in a grid system. And they actually take the eggs, and they have in grids, they know what, if there's eggs in this one or there's not eggs, and they plant them eggs in there, because what they're trying to do is raise the population of those leatherback turtles. You see what it is? Man has led to the destruction, and now man is trying to take those things and trying to increase the population. You see that very thing working amongst in the church world, where people are trying to increase population and they fail to recognize that it's not that of worldly entertainment or amusement that draws the real children of God. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the word of God that attracts the people of God. Hallelujah. I think of what the prophet said like this. He said, we get to where we're building all these big gyms and building all these big places. I'm not against working out, but he says, we get to build all these things. He said, the people of God used to get enough exercise being in the house of God. I really like that. I mean, you know, we come to church, you know. We come to have church. We understand it not about emotion, but we also recognize that we can be emotional. You can't tell me you're not emotional. If I stomp on your toe, I guarantee you yell. So you got something that causes emotion to come out. You understand? I'm not talking about we got to be emotional. I'm talking about being free in the Lord. Oh my. So see this being led away from that steadfastness of mind. That's why Paul could say, gird up the loins of your mind. Right? Be girt about with truth. There's a lot of things of truth that you don't need to be girt with. Is that right? Paul said, think on things, not only true, but they're good report, they're virtue, and they got praise. There's a lot of truth out there in the world. I don't want to think on it. It don't have no virtue in it. Right? There's a lot of problems, a lot of issues, a lot of things. It had no virtue in it. But think on these things. You see, friends, the only way we've got to be in contact with one who can place our thoughts in the way that they need to be placed is staying in fellowship with God. Now notice this. What I want to just kind of speak to you here in a few moments and to start to lay this in here this evening a little bit on is the manner of God's elect. The manner. And this word manner out of the scriptures when we were reading in 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner? That means, what sort of, this is what the word means. What sort of quality of people that we ought to be? You see, the scripture goes on. We're trying to finish that in verse 18. Here's the admonition. Look in verse 17 and verse 18 again. Verse 18, he says, instead of this being led away, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So it's God's desire that our lives, that there would be true growth in our lives. And we know, you know, look, you know, you're not going to go out to the yard and start expecting growth in some area if you haven't planted nothing there. But if something's been planted there and it's the right season, the light and the water has struck it, you expect it to come forth. And when it starts coming forth, you start working to cultivate that earth, maybe in putting up supports and other things to keep maybe certain animals and things away from it. Why? Because you know those things are necessary until that plant has come to a place that it no longer needs those certain things around it. And God has done you and I the same way. He placed certain supports and strengths around our lives. That's why the guidance and the direction that's given, you take a tree, you plant a young tree that's in the yard. They're going to put a stake. I don't care how ugly that stake looks, they're going to plant a stake next to it.
Right.
You might say that stake takes away from everything, but that stake is there for a season and for a time.
Yes.
You see, one day that stake's going to be taken away. That stake has served a purpose till that tree can grow and establish the root systems that are below the ground, that then it can grow and it'll be growing straight. And that's exactly the way the grace of God, it moves down upon our life. Oh, my brother, my sister, it might not look so pretty, but I'll tell you what, when it works in our life, there's a grounding of roots in our life that our lives might grow straight into his presence. God don't dwell in earthly beauty. He don't dwell in earthly mental beauty. He dwells in heavenly beauty, and heavenly beauty is his character reflected through our vessels.
Yes.
Thinking of what kind of person ought each of us ought we to be. Now I want you to think of this for a moment. In all holy conversation and godliness. Let me lay this in here just a moment. The scriptures here, when we think of, you know, the word holy, you know, he's not talking about how pious somebody can be. You know, you can be, you and I, we could be ever so good, but our goodness will never match what God's calling for. The way we're pleasing to him is being found acceptable in him. That's by his life dwelling in us and us walking in step with his word. That's being pleasing to him. That's what being pleasing to God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he had a testimony before he was translated that he pleased God. You see, Brother Samuel, there's only a little bit that's written about Enoch. I don't read about mistakes and things he made. You know why? Because that's not what was significant in God's mind.
That's right.
God, if he wanted to include him, he included it with Abraham's life because he knew you and I would need it. You would think about that. If God would have just wrote the Bible based on those glorious moments of where all you see was that character working out within the life, I tell you what, we would have a really small Bible.
Right?
But God, in his grace, allowed those things to be given for our ancestors.
Amen.
To encourage us in the faith.
Amen.
So that we can see, hey, like when God took Abram. God knew what kind of faith was in Abram.
Amen.
When did God call him when he was down in the Ur of Chaldees? You and I look at James 4, where it talks of the Mount Moriah faith. That Mount Moriah faith was Christ residing there in dormant form. You know what had to happen? Get Abraham in the right place,
yes,
under the right atmosphere,
yes,
and God would bring that into maturity.
Yes. Amen.
See, that's why we're not to be occupied. Don't be occupied with the future. Be occupied with the I am.
Yes.
Because he that is present, he prepares you and conditions you for the next junction.
Yes.
You see, look, that's the way the church world's doing right now. I was driving around just a couple weeks ago. I was down in Akron ministering down there. And on the church sign, people, he's coming. Are you ready? And there, all these things are all around. But you see, God has sent a necessary junction. There is a message that God has sent to bring a necessary preparation. When the people were down in Babylon for 70 years, God didn't all of a sudden say, hey, 70 years is over. Come out of here. No, no, no. God knew that 70 years was coming. And you know what? The Holy Spirit went and visited them who were in bondage.
Yes.
They began to move on their hearts.
Yes.
There were children who would be planted there in that time. Men and women who went into bondage there because of Israel's disobedience. They began to act like Babylon. So God let them go to Babylon.
Yes.
Oh my.
Amen.
You see, God will let people, if people want to act in a resisting mode and act in a dominating mode and they want to rebel against the word, God has said, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go and become a part of who you're acting like.
Oh,
yes, sir. But notice this. God's grace stirred him up.
Yes.
He said, when you begin to seek with me with all your heart, then you shall be found of me.
Amen.
Right? God didn't just say, hey, no. 70 years is up. You're ready? No, sir, buddy. They were down there. And I can guarantee you they were working there in that period of time, whatever, 68, 69, whatever the year it was. The Holy Spirit was already dealing with what things were taking place down in there. What was he doing? He's getting up people that are going to be ready to leave there. And God knew exactly what was going to be needed. There would be a need of a restoration of the temple and worship. And God already had a man in mind that he would call for that moment. God already had it in his mind. That would be Ezra that would return back. And God already knew there'd be a man that needed to come back and work on the gates of the spirit, the gates of the flesh, be able to set up the fish gate where it belonged and all those things and show how all those things had to be put in order. God already had Nehemiah in mind. And Nehemiah was going about his daily activity of serving the king, his wine cup. And all of a sudden he heard those things down there that had taken place in Jerusalem. It burned his soul. The world he began to weep. He began to cry. What was it? It was a burden of the Lord. God will deal with a man's life, a woman's life. He'll work with their life. He'll minister to their life. He'll speak to their life. He'll show up and do things that they haven't merited him doing. You know what it is? It's God trying to deal. It's God trying to work with that heart. It's God trying to condition that spirit to recognize that I need him to be the person in my life. Not just to be the operator to send out the dispatch in emergency. I hope you're all right. We're just following him. But see, God has and he ordains and stirs those things up. Your pastor don't stir that up. God drops the burden on his heart. And he begins to preach. And many times you can stand right here. You don't see the whole point. You don't see everything way on down the road. But God has little increments of time. And every little service is important, preparing you for the next junction. Anybody ever like working with a puzzle and you can't find the last piece? I know half of them. When you pour out pieces on the table, you look at it and think, where do you start? Some of us have our plans of attack. Ooh, start getting the straight edges. Let's get the outside edge first. Right? Some of you got your plans of attack. And then you start looking and you're looking all around. You're focusing on all those pieces. And see, God himself knows exactly where each one of us belong in the body.
Amen.
He knows our ordained part.
Amen.
He knows where each of us, listen, he chose us in his mind. The purpose that he has for our life, it's been ordained from before the foundation of the world. But it's up to you and I to come into and in line and in union with the mind of God and allow him to operate through us what he has ordained us to do. Amen. We can never work ourselves up to an acceptable level, but he came down that he could bring us to where he's at. Glory be to God. You see this? What kind of manner of people are we to be? See, it's talking about these people in the world, the condition of the world. It's going on. Going on. But the difference is, he said, what manner of people are we to be? See, there's got to be a difference. Peter's not talking about, let's call a seminar and do a 10 days of teaching on how to be a happier you. 15 steps to be a happier grump. 10 steps to be grump less. That's not what he's talking about. He's speaking about a quality of life that he's calling to the elect. God works with the elect. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Can you say amen? He don't force his way on you. What it does is invite you into what he has already paid the price that you can have. Amen. He's already freely given unto us all things. But it's up to you, and I to obtain those things and lay hold on those things.
Amen.
A lot of times we'd like for him just to hand them to us. Right? God, you hand me everything. But you see, it's true. Many times that's where our character is developed. That's where our character is molded and shaped. In those times. If you and I had the choice of, oh, Lord, do I have to go through that? See, he don't even let you and I know. But he knows the path that he has laid down for us. And let me tell you how powerful the election of God is. It doesn't remove you and I from making the wrong decisions. But what it does say is this right here. If you make the wrong decision, you get off on the wrong path. I'm ordained to show you the path of life, to bring you back right on the path. And how does God bring us back on the path? He don't pick us up by the hair of our neck and yank us back on path. But he woos us back to the mark that when we have drifted. That's why they have that longing and that burden in your heart, and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, get back on track, get right back in line. And there's something that pulsates in your heart and says, yes, Lord, I'll come right back in line with your word. Oh my, God don't want you serving him out of fear. He wants you to serve him from a love relationship, that you might know him in the power of his resurrection, to know the love of Christ that passeth all knowledge. Oh my, notice this, we're talking about being holy. In all manner of conversation. That word conversation means conduct and behavior. The only way we can have that character, that change of our character, has got to be the quality of life we have on the inside. And I say it like this. There's a lot of things. Look, the Holy Spirit dealt with this in the ministry, in this hour, this message that we have received. Notice how it dealt with all the things that people wanted to do. Brother Brand deals with, and God in hiding in simplicity. He said, they say, you got to have long white shirts and you got to have this and you got to have that. He said, it's self-righteousness.
Right, right.
What is that? But the Holy Spirit directing our attention to what true holiness is all about.
That's right.
You with me?
Amen.
See, that's why the scripture said in Romans 4 and 1. Let me refer to this. Romans 1 verse 4. It says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know what that says? You get the Holy Spirit on you in the inside of you, your life is holy.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. It's the Spirit of holiness working out in our life.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You see, in Titus, it says, teaching us about the grace of God. How is he teaching us? An inward teacher.
Right.
See, an inward teacher on the inside, he teaches you how to dress right. I'm not saying sometimes we don't have to go in through and lay some of these things out, but you understand, getting the inside man on, getting the inside person right, he teaches you how to live right because he changes your desire. Amen. That's an inside teacher. That's the real spirit of holiness. Oh, glory. That's true holiness. You could have maybe your dress to, oh my, I've got it to this length and my hair's to this length and everything. I don't wear tight clothes, I wear loose clothes. But you might be loose with your tongue. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about true holiness. What manner of people are we to be? Oh, glory be to God. Now let's look here just for a few moments. Go with me, would you, to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Aren't you thankful for the spirit of holiness?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I'm glad there's an inward teacher.
Yeah.
Right? I'm glad it's not something where here we are waiting at the church door and saying, Brother so-and-so, you got your ruler tonight? How carnal.
Yeah.
You see what happens? It becomes people conforming to an outward image.
Right.
But if we get that inward image on the inside will reflect itself on the outside. It'll manifest itself through the life. It brings them to a place of teachable. They might not have heard those things before. Listen to me. It's like what Brother Bo said last night. You take somebody that's come from over here or come from over there, and they may not have that understanding, but you begin to take them into the Word.
Yes.
I hope this is all right. It ain't about, well, this is what Brother Jerry teaches. This is what my church teaches. No, you need to say, God, make this real to me.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. This is what the scripture says concerning his word.
Yes.
Amen. But as we live our life, we reflect that word that's being taught here.
Right.
You want to be a true reflection of it.
Right.
Amen. The only way we can be a true reflection is have the one on the inside who's able to reflect what he's saying.
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't go getting down on yourself saying, oh my goodness, I've got these mistakes and whatever more. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying right now is if you don't have the teacher on the inside, he's here tonight and wants to move into your room. Don't take it the wrong way. The Holy Spirit ain't here to put anybody out. He's trying to invite you in to the place that you need in your life. Amen. And he's here to give you the grace that you have need of to grow.
Amen.
Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Is that all right?
Amen.
I mean, look. Every service, essentially, we preach John 3. The new birth, right? We may not take that text. But you see, the way the Holy Spirit will operate in every service, it deals with each and every life, and it's dealing on all levels. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, what if I took that text every night, and I preached on every night? I took the text, you must be born again, and I preached that over and over and over, and that's all I ever preached. I'm talking about just that text. What would happen? No growth.
Yeah.
You understand?
Right.
It's just like when they're building houses around where we're at. You just don't, if you you pour a poor foundation, you don't keep pouring a foundation, right? Because you start getting the wood, start assembling, you get other guys in there.
Right.
They were building houses around where we live. I didn't see the same concrete guys in there, you know, setting them slack. They were there for a time.
Yeah.
Right? And then other homes were being built. And so you'd see them guys over here, but then over here, there was these guys framing.
Right.
See, there were buildings going on. And you can't keep this foundation there and try while you're building this one. And that's why the church itself don't know about y'all tonight, but I know it's raining out there.
Right.
Which one of y'all like to go down to your basement tonight and not have a floor or roof over your head? Say, so got a crawl space. Okay. How would you like to go lay in the crawl space and not have any floor over your head or any roof over your head?
Right.
Oh, boy, I got a crawl space. That crawl space is necessary. That foundation is necessary. You can't do away with it. But neither can you just stay in that manner. You've got to grow. That's what growth is all about. It's allowing that life to pulsate and move through us. Oh my, look at this in 1 Chronicles 11. Verse 1. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And remember, Saul has passed off the scene now. It's time for David to be anointed king. And moreover, in times past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. You know what they recognize? Saul was here. He was one the people chose. But David, you were the one that God used to win victories. See, it's speaking. The Holy Spirit that's worked down through the ages is the same Holy Spirit. That's what they're being recognized. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king, to Hebron. And David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. God had already spoken these things, right? When Saul was yet alive, because Saul had disobeyed the Lord. God gave him opportunities. Saul kept disobeying. Saul could only manifest who he was. But you see, David, God sought David out. Oh, yes, sir. Let me tell you something right now. The Holy Spirit will never point you out to be a Saul.
No.
I hope you're with me now. I gotta say that. The Holy Spirit don't do things like that. No. He's inviting you into that ministry of David.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. The Holy Spirit don't work like that. That's the enemy as an accuser.
Right.
The Holy Spirit don't do things like that.
No.
Listen, the Holy Spirit did not tell them of the spies. He didn't get in their ear and say, you know what? You ain't nothing but a bunch of spies. You are make-believers. The Holy Spirit didn't do that to them guys.
No.
You understand? But I can guarantee you that same accuser showed up to Caleb and Joshua and all the rest of them and tried to work on them. You know why? He saw something that was fervent in their life. But notice this. They already knew. They had recognition of what God had spoken by Samuel when Samuel anointed David to be king. But now here, they recognize this is the time. How have they been made known that this is the time? God has made them aware. God even made them aware of where they need to be. Hebron. God told David. David said, where shall I go up? In chapter 2 of 2 Samuel, go up to Hebron. God knew this is a special place.
Right.
This is where I met your great-grandfather, Abraham.
Hallelujah.
This is where when he separated from Lot, he went straight to the plains of Mamre, which is Hebron. This is where he buried your great-grandmother, Sarah, in the cave, in the field, in cave of Machpelah.
Right.
This place of resurrection. This is a place that David or Caleb was given as an inheritance. It had a lineage here. See, this was God's choosing. God didn't go down the line. God came to Abraham.
Right. Amen.
And David got in the place where the prophecy was to be fulfilled. And God came right there on the scene.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit, it gives an unction and an urge for us to get right into the place of God's word where we ought to be. And the Lord God is there to meet us and bring that word into manifestation. Oh my, notice what they said in verse 1. We are thy bone and thy flesh. So they're saying, you are the head, we are the body. They're recognizing headship. There's an assembling of all these parts and they recognize you're the head. The body can only turn if the head says turn. Is that right? Now notice this. Let's read this just a little bit. In verse 4. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. Glory. Those in Jerusalem, they said, you're not coming here. He said, I'll take Zion first then. You know that Israel was blinded for our sake. And he would take a Gentile bride unto himself. But you know that was all in the mind, God's mind. They were blinded. They rejected him. But he went and took Zion. Zion, a type of the bride. Watch this. And it says, and David said, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle, therefore they called it the city of David. Notice what he did. And he built the city round about, even from Milo round about, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. So this was the will of God. So he takes Zion, and Zion being a type of our lives, the stronghold. You see, when we look at this, I want you to think of this just for a moment. How that God moving in the heart of the believer. You know, the scriptures speak to us in the book of Corinthians. Let me just refer to this. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You see, a lot can say, well, Jesus is the Christ. But when you know him seated on the throne of your heart, hallelujah. When you can look in your life and say, my life is not what it used to be. Amen. I'm not what I used to be. And that love on the inside, that desire, walking by every word of God, then you can say, he is Lord. Amen. He's master. And you know it, not by what you've read, but you know it by personal experience. He's the Lord of my life. He's the one that gives me the strength to turn my head. Yes, why? He took away that desire on the inside. Sure, the flesh, sure, the spirit can be pulled, but there's a greater desire on the inside. Amen. It's the love of God that's working in our lives. Amen. And it gives us a strength to look beyond the things of this world. Amen. You see, we could go throughout this building tonight. And you know, it's like this. There's things that you can be tempted on. But you recognize those temptations are opportunities of overcoming. As Brother Brandon played like this in the message, Acts of the Holy Spirit, he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, he said, there as it moves into your life, he said, it abides and it grows daily, pushing out all of those things. What is it? The spirit of holiness. It pushes those things out. Right? And he says, you got a real bad temptation with something. He said, you overcome that thing about a couple times and two or three times. He said, you watch a testimony that'll bloom in that area of your life. Amen. Amen. God moves to the inside and he removes the desire. Amen. The enemy can still come and tempt because he remembers how he used to use that vessel. Come on, somebody. You say, well, I never smoked. I never drank. I never ran around. But you might have had one of the baddest tempers and the baddest attitudes that ever was around. That's still just as bad. See, we get to classify things and ranking sin to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Let me tell you something. When the prophet stood there in Clifford's cafeteria in Toledo, he looked at that woman and remember what he said, how she was dressed in that way. He began to criticize her and said, God, how can you let such stuff reside in this earth? And the God, you know what God told him? Come here a minute, boy. I need to talk to you for a moment. He got him in there and he held a conference with him. And he said about that time of the Holy Spirit began to deal with him. He let him know. He said, I was just as bad as she was. Did that mean that Brother Brandon didn't have the Holy Ghost? Not at all. But he got drawn out in a manner where his zeal was moving out and it wasn't checked in the right balance. So God took an opportunity like that. Where he acted wrongly to shake him.
character.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I hate making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Anybody like making mistakes?
No.
Don't raise your hand because you'd be lying. That'd be a bigger mistake. Nobody likes making mistakes.
No. Amen.
You know, do you ever felt like putting yourself on a pole and say, you know what, Lord, I'll just beat myself up. That ain't the way God wants you and I to do, though.
No.
You know why that bothers? Because we don't want to let him down.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
But being the election of God, you can't change what God's thought is of you.
No.
But the desire within your heart is to come in line and fully express all of that. And because that desire has been changed and moved to the inside, it won't allow you to reside in a manner. If you said something, thought something, done something that's wrong, it won't let you get away with it. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is so zealous. And the prophet said in the Hebrew series, he says, if you won't make that thing right, he said, God will take you out of this earth.
Right.
I tell you, that's the love of God.
Right.
Oh, yes, sir. But friends, think about it. I would rather have a testimony of the victory of Calvary overcoming my pride.
Yes.
I hope it's all right tonight. I'd rather have that kind of a testimony that God has been able to work and by his grace subdue these areas in my life. Oh my God. All of these areas down through the family tree that have survived browning after browning, brown after brown, certain things. But the Holy Spirit, he himself, our David, is waxing stronger and stronger and stronger. Listen to me. He don't change this flesh.
No.
David,
yes,
gets greater.
Yes.
You with me?
Amen.
You're never going to perfect this old boy.
No.
You still want to be there. You still want to be pulled. But the inside man, that David, grows greater.
Oh,
you know what he's doing? He's taking a stronghold.
Hallelujah.
He said, I'll take this on the inside and I'll lead it to a body change.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
It'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen.
Look at this. The rapture, we recognize this. Let me try to wind down here. The rapture. That's what we recognize. We're reading in 2 Peter chapter 3. The rest of the world is going along. They're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for somebody to turn it around. Somebody to help it out. It don't matter if it's Billary or who it is. They're not going to be able to turn it around. You see, this man trying to undo what man has done by the fall, and you can't tamper with the prophecy.
No.
The wheels of prophecy turn slow, but they turn surely.
Yes,
you see, well, the rest of the world is caught up in that. Churches are caught up in getting members.
Uh-huh.
See, they're in calling up and getting people in, but the burden that God has dropped on our lives is to be ready to leave.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit has dealt with our lives.
Right.
You see, a lot of the other things sometimes have come up and it's distractions. And the enemy can even bring things to you and I who try to distract us. So, preach, Brother Samuel.
Right.
He try to bring things to try to distract us from what the real need is. You ever notice how God starts getting right down in your life on certain things and then all of a sudden something else will come up and it starts to distract you off of you? Start getting you on something else. You know what it is? That's a plot of the enemy.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, yes, sir. Listen, if we can be really, really understanding of this right here, I'll tell you what. God knows what he's giving to your pastor to bring. I'm gonna make sure I'm looking at Brother Jerry. I hope he's all right. I can't see his face. But you know what? God knows. And so do the enemies looking in the enemies.
Yeah.
See, on this. Let me see. Let me try to get something to get his mind off of. So what the enemy are trying to do is let's flood the phone. Let's flood the text gates.
Oh,
you understand what I'm saying? Now you're thinking, oh my. Well, what did he tell Brother Sam? He didn't tell me nothing. I'm talking from experience. You understand? The enemy wants to plot and try to hinder because he knows he can't stop.
That's it. Amen.
He's interested in hindering. That's why he works so hard on you when it comes closer to church time.
Yes.
You see, like you can walk on the mountain every Monday through Tuesday through Wednesday. All of a sudden, Thursday comes and he goes to track rest. kids. You know why? He's trying to get you down in your mind, trying to get you affected in your spirit to where you can't even really feel like you can come to the house of God. That's the working of the enemy. But what manner of people are we to be? Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we are saved by hope. That ain't not talking about our soul. Right. He's talking about tough times when we go through the toughest times in our life. We're so, we feel weak and mad. Somebody asks us, you feel like going to church tonight? No, I don't feel like going tonight. But we're going. And why are you going? Because I'm expecting God's going to say something.
Yeah.
He's going to do something that's going to give me that strength. We are saved by hope. Expectation. I don't know how he's going to turn it around. I don't know what's going to happen. He might be strengthening you. God will remove the situation from your life.
No.
But he says, hey, you haven't been looking in the mirror lately, have you?
Oh,
let me remind you where I brought you from.
Yeah.
Let me tell you where you were in my mind. Let me show you the grace that's been manifested through your life. What you do? He lets you know of himself working in your life, and it gives you strength.
Amen.
It'll take away the trial. It gives you strength to believe God through the trial.
Yes.
Faith is our victory.
Yes.
Oh, glory be to God. See, the rapture. Rapture. Brother Brown, place it like this in the Message Future Home. Rapture. He says, it's a transplanting from here to there. And what transplanting? You know, you take a little plant, and those plants that we buy in the nursery and plant every year, you know those little, Brother Doug, the ones you plant? Those little plants that they fell in seed form, then they put them little bitty stems, we'd get them in the greenhouse, we'd have to take them out of those big, long, stringy packets and put them in every one of the little flat plastic packets. Why? They need more room to grow.
Yeah.
So you take the plant, you say, well, the plant's not growing. It needs more ground to grow in.
Wow. Good.
You start finding your leaves withering. That's not the promise of the scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 1, his leaves are not wither.
Right.
That what it's talking about is his life. And so when we start checking our own life, we say, wait a minute.
Lord.
Is the acidity level right in my life?
Yes.
Is there things about me that I'm not dying daily? God be dying?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says the Lord planted the garden eastward in Eden.
Yes.
And there he put the man. And he put the man Christ Jesus on the inside of this garden and to keep it, to dress it, to bring forth all the seeds that he has spoken.
Right.
You see that here around me? We'd like to see change like this. Is that right?
Oh, yes, sir. We'd like to have it faster than McDonald's could serve up hamburgers. But it don't come that way. You know how change comes? From us dying.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, yes, sir. You see, God, listen, friends. Dying itself. God, as he's bringing forth his word, he's calling us to a death.
Yes.
Paul said, I die daily.
Yes.
You see, the word, when it calls to us, our lives, and that attention, we give of our lives. We're dying to ourselves.
Amen.
And then we find God will allow tests and trials to come our way.
Yes.
What is it? So we can die.
Yes.
Then more of his grace might be made known to us.
Yes,
we don't ask for tests and trials. But God, in his great grace and providence, he knows what we have need of.
Yes.
I believe we're people ordained to change.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm not talking about changing doctrine. You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking about those who are shaking about with every wind of doctrine. That's not the kind of change I'm talking about. We're talking about a change where we're ordained for the change, for the body, for the rapture. And the way, or the candidate for that is there's got to be a change come first on the inside. And then when there's a change that's there on the inside, that, listen, if we're people of the change, then we ought to be expecting change. Well, Brother Samuel, one day I'm looking for the change in my body. No. I'm talking about daily. I'm talking about every service. We're expecting change. Lord, I'm expecting there to be a change in me. Is that right? There'll be a change. Not for me to be the same guy. Not for me to be the same person. Listen, if we're dealing with the same things, You might be dealing with this, and this, maybe this attitude or this thought or this, you know, grudge or whatever more. You're dealing with that. It's not by God's choosing. Ooh, my. We must be striking chords now. You're not dealing with that by God's choosing. God permits situations to come our way to show the greenness in our life. But it's how we handle it. It's how we'll submit to it. Right? But you see, God gives us his opportunities to manifest. His grace can be shown in our life that'll give us grace to overcome in those areas. You say, Brother Samuel, I believe I've got the Holy Ghost. Yes. And he is the canner on the inside that you say, I can do all things.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you had somebody step on your toes? Somebody done you wrong?
Sure.
Something come around your way?
Yes, Lord.
Come on now.
Sure.
Something comes up, maybe something you know comes out. This individual had a car. Don't tell me nothing. Don't come to your mind and say, hey, you know what? I just knew, man, the way they've been digging on me and the way they've been doing it. Hey, listen, the enemy will come that way.
Yes, it will.
You know what? You can entertain those thoughts, entertain those things, and then you'll find another say, Brother Samuel, I can't get away from that. What I have to do?
Pray.
Yes.
Brother Samuel, it seems like then when I go lay down in bed, that same thought comes up again about that individual. What must I do?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying, I sat down, leave a piece of stick, and I look and I see the larger bottle, and no, it has the letters of their name on it. What do I have to do? Pray again? We're talking about fighting a warfare.
Amen. Amen. That's true.
When the Lord Jesus was going to Calvary, how many times did he pray? Three times. Did that mean because he didn't have faith? No, he had faith. He was going through a battle that he might be experienced and be a faithful and merciful high priest.
Amen.
That you and I, listen, there's times you know we're going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. We've been dead in the wrong, but we don't want to admit it. Man, I tell you, I hope there ain't nothing hot downstairs. Don't worry, I ain't going to keep it much longer. Man, we got cold cuts tonight. They might be hot when we get done. But you see, the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to deal with certain things in our life. And you know what God's working on? He's working to dissolve that area of our life.
Yes.
He'll start dealing with these things. Ooh, and God knows how to humble us, don't he?
Yes,
yes. God knows how to humble you. Think, I got to go and make this right to this person. Say, can you please forgive me? God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he
does. But I tell you what, it's the greatest victory when we come to those times.
Yes,
isn't it? What liberty it is when we can humble ourselves in that time and say, yes, I've been wrong. Or we can move to that area of our life. Maybe that person doesn't even know anything's been done wrong. But you know.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they call them up to take prayer requests and say, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just now have a prayer request. Pray for me, so-and-so's praying. Come on now. You see what that is? It's how you're going to battle with that. It's submitting yourself and it's saying, Lord, help me die to that. What did Brother Branham talk about feelings? He said, when we get them feelings, he said, you get this feeling or this or that. He said, grub it out with a grubbing hole. What do you do with a grubbing hole? You get out roots, right? You just don't take the grubbing hole and lay it on the dirt. You got to take the grubbing hole. It's an instrument made for your hands. And it's made for you to use it. And that's what prayer is made for you and I to submit ourselves to God, that our members might be yielded as members of instruments of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That God himself can work through our life to work things out in our life. Oh my. Talking about the manner of God's elect, what manner of people are we to be? Hey, listen. We talk about that city, the New Jerusalem. Look at all, look how God describes it coming down in the book of Revelation. Every one of those aspects and areas, it speaks of the character of the people who will be the inhabitants of that city.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know about you, but I can say it right now, help me, Lord.
Yes. Amen, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
When you read down through this, when you read down through in the scriptures and you read, and you know, and down there about love and what love is and what how love doesn't do this and love doesn't do that. Listen, friends, when you look at that, those are seeds.
And you say, Lord, let them come to full maturity in my life. Let me read you this in closing. This is the message, straight as the gate. Brother Bram says, the other day he said, I was talking, he said, Leo and I was sitting on the street and some of us were talking. And I keep feeling there's a change coming, a change coming. When we spoke of it, it won't be a change in my ministry because it can't be no more. Now this is 1959, but it'll be a change in me. See, he's aware the Holy Spirit's moving. There's a change coming. Yep. But he's aware it's going to be a change in me. Oh, wow. Now watch what, look what he's doing. Watch what happens now. He says, I've always been a weakling and just let people lead me and guide me and send me this way and that way. What a confession. You see, he's not in denial of the change that needs to be. What is it? He's expecting a change. And God does not call us as the manner of God's elect. We're not in denial of change. Like, well, I'm just sitting here just drinking sweet tea and just waiting on every rest of y'all to catch up. Tell you what, you all would just hurry up, man. No, no, no. God, the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. God's working in our lives. And us expecting change. But you're expecting change in what? It's not you're expecting saying, God, I'm just expecting you to come and do it all. But he says, and I want to borrow your flesh. And I want to let the victory of Calvary be made manifest through your flesh. I want to change you from glory unto glory unto glory. Remember, he's not changing. Listen. Then when the Holy Spirit moves in this growth and maturity, it's not changing at this time the atomic structure. No. Yeah, right. But it's changing that on the inside to where this word is having preeminence. Oh, wow. To the things that we used to give preeminence to. Yeah. We no longer give preeminence to it. Right. What's happening? It's lessening and lessening and lessening and lessening. Why? Because it's his strength in us that gives us the grace to ignore those things. Amen. That's God's grace at work. I mean, when God got a hold of our life, he'd have stripped everything out of us. Here we would have stood on that day. Lord, I am nothing to overcome. When you gave me the Holy Ghost, you gave me the glorified body, the authority, everything. I had nothing to overcome. You gave everything to me. But we know that there's overcoming that we're called to do. And here's where it starts, is identifying. Now listen to me in closing. It starts with identifying our areas. Yeah. Expecting change is not wallowing in defeat. No. Expecting change is not wallowing in, oh man, why am I this way? Oh my goodness. I tell you, that's not expecting change. You know what God says? I will work on another patient. When you're through whining, I'll be back in the room. You know what that is? That's pride. You may not look at it like pride, but that's pride. Because you're looking at me, oh my. Instead of looking at that I need you to change me, oh God. We want God to come down to us and God to give in to us. But God said, I'm for you, but I'm not going to enhance your wrongful behavior. I'm not going to do that. That's not what his grace does. His grace comes to correct our lives, to mold us and to shape us that we might match the choosing of his mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? You remember like we dealt with it in May. That don't mean God is showing up, and every time it's like when, you know, like when I was teaching school, you have parents and all of a sudden show up and you're like, I never seen you in an open house. Who are you? Yeah. You know what it is? You reprimand your child, and all of a sudden you see somebody on the street. Oh, wow. Who are you? They're flying in. Then all of a sudden you want to be daddy at that time. Yeah, exactly. Or mama at that time. You understand what I mean? They're stepping up at that time. Yeah. That's the way God is. God's a real parent. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is there to mold and shape our lives.
He's not there to make crutches and excuses for our lives. He's there to mold us and shape us and bring us into maturity. Think how easy it would be for God. Let me say this to you. All the way down through the scriptures, all the way down through the Bible, God could have covered up David's life. He could have covered up Abraham's life. He could have covered up every one of their lives. He could have covered up everything along the way. But God has never been interested in highlighting flesh. There's no flesh that can glory in his presence.
None. None. All of it must be to the glory of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? But I'll tell you this right now. He's not for this. He's for this. And because he's for this, he won't give in to this. Glory! He's calling to that inside man. That's the manner of God's elect. The manner of God's elect. And you know what the manner of God's elect do? They heed to that voice. And by heeding to that voice, their life is a testimony that I'm living and I'm looking and I'm hastening unto the coming of the Lord.
But when we're not moved, listen, you can become hardened, you can become calloused, you can become to a place and not being moved by the word of God. You know what happens? The enemy starts moving in. You start finding things that all of a sudden, things that seem like things is strengthening this area and this area starts coming. Think, what's going on? It's because God's wanting you to go down a path. The Bible says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The Bible goes on in song. That is not a funeral home song. A song. It's a funeral home, all right. It's a death to this guy. Every single day. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Aren't you glad that he's there to lead us?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad that he's glad to correct us?
Yeah.
But you see, when God corrects us, he all of a sudden puts something on our feet. All of a sudden, our feet are walking away. The Bible says, make straight paths for your feet. So it's for us to take the correction and then start walking by that correction. And then when we do it, we find ourselves, we're exercised and yield the peaceable fruits. It's all his grace working in our life. And that's what God desires out of real true correction in our life.
Amen.
That's what he desires.
Amen.
God wants to see his life in us.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God will correct you and I out of frustration?
Yeah.
Like, boy, you've been running out so much. Man, I'm tired of this right now. No, no, no. God, he sees something. God doesn't act out of frustration. He deals with a vision in mind.
Yes.
He knows what's ahead. He knows every junction and every step of the way. Brother Bram said, I know there's a change coming. And he's expecting, he's acknowledging these are changes that have to be. I've been a weakling. Now, how many of you would say, this is 1959, how many of you would say, yeah, I always thought Brother Bram was a weakling before 59 there. Yeah. Look, and just let people lead me and guide me. How many of you ever thought that about Brother Bram? You ever think that? But you see, these things are standing out to him. He goes on to say it like this. He says, if I'd have done something the Lord told me to do a long time ago, I wouldn't be in the trouble I'm in today. See what he's saying? A change in me. Look at the change in me. You say, well, what about the unfolding of that first pull into the second pull, into the third pull? You know what that was? In order for that to come in, that had to be a dying of William Branham. What did Brother Branham say over and over, all the way through the message? He said, this is my biggest enemy. If I can get William Branham out of the way, God's able to do things that William Branham don't know nothing about. He was aware of it, who his worst enemy was. And he, you know what he did? He brought himself and submitted himself to the Lord. God used it as an example for you and I. Like when God, let's close. Go ahead and stand. We're Lord willing, we'll just pick it up tomorrow. If the Lord wills. You look at it. When God was dealing with Gehazi and Elisha, he was dealing with them. Remember when Gehazi looked up and Gehazi said, hey, master, all these Syrians are all around us.
Yeah.
Elisha said, hey, there's more with us than there is with them.
Right.
What Elisha was looking at was beyond this realm.
That's right.
But Gehazi couldn't see it. And because he couldn't see it, was acting that way. But when Elisha said, "The Lord, open."
Oh, yes, amen. Yes.
Oh, God.
Help us,
open my eyes.
Yes, Lord. Lord.
In every situation.
Amen.
Open my eyes.
Amen.
Sometimes we get trapped when we're looking at things in the natural.
That's true.
And we start reacting in the natural. You know why? That's because we're not seeing the other realm.
Uh-huh.
But when we can see it in the other realm, then it's faith. Then it brings peace. Then it's no longer us trying. It's us yielding and Him working. He said, "Lord, open His eyes." And God opened Gehazi's eyes. He saw that the hills, the mountains. What did he see? He seen something that was above where he was at.
Amen.
So on the mountains and the hills. See, God already has everything in position. When God opened his eyes to that, he could settle Gehazi. And I tell you, friends, that's with every one of us. We need our eyes to be open.
Yes, Lord.
That's the truth, isn't it? Every situation. Sometimes we come into situations. We don't know. We can't see through this situation. We don't know how. We don't know when it's going to take place. But you know what? The how and the when. God never has entrusted that to us. But what's important is we know who. Because who is the one who holds the how and when.
Yes, Lord.
And we can just be submitted to who? Jesus Christ. Then He'll give us the grace. The grace to walk through until the how works out. When it's supposed to work out. Is that what you desire tonight?
Amen.
God, let my eyes be focused beyond this world.
Yes.
Let me live beyond this world. Don't let me live just for things present now. Don't let me just live with my feelings. I don't want to live by my feelings right now. Right?
Right.
I don't want to just walk by my feelings and let these things go. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of every area in my life. That's the manner of persons that we're to be. Seeing that our David is coming into power. Amen. And David's got some faithful men who stood with him coming into power. They had some tremendous character. And they were coming into power. And God knew who he was bringing together. And he manifests all of these attributes. And that's what God calls for us. Can we do it alone on our own strength? No. Only by his strength. But you see, it all starts with yielding. It all starts with, if you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, that's where you start. You start by saying, "Lord, I need that life inside of me."
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? That's where it all starts. Otherwise, it becomes a struggle. But when that life is on the inside, then you keep yielding. And you find yourself, you're able to be taught. And you're able to heed. And that's what God has called us to. That's what he desires of our life. You see, look, don't, I'm closing, I really am. Don't get focused on trying to get somebody else in your eyesight. He's the one that's being set before us. And he deals with us, and through a congregation, he deals with us personally for our own lives. What God wants us to do is measure up to what he's calling each of us to. And he calls us and he gives us the grace to come to that place. And that's what he expects, because that's the desire that he cultivates in our life. Oh my. No doubt tonight, you know, we stand here. No doubt for many of you, perhaps you pass from death unto life. But you say, "God, let me be renewed tonight."
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Sometimes we've got to have a renewal. Right?
Amen.
You know, it's like you find things sometimes. It's like even within, you know, the church here, you lay everything out. And all of a sudden, after a period of time, you get maybe have dirt and things like that that comes on the carpet. You don't necessarily rip the carpet up. What do? You clean it. Right? You don't need to say, "Man, there's mud on this carpet. Burn it down. Let's build a new church." No. You deal with what needs to be dealt with.
Amen.
Because you already know the dirt has nothing to do with the building.
That's right. That's right.
I need to clean this area. And that's why we're not born again and again and again and again. But we do need a renewal.
Amen.
We do need renewal. We do have to have, at times we have to come in and have, whether it's carpet cleaned or have the, everything's got to be cleaned and wiped down. Why? It's a renewal. Right? It's got to be, it's got to be a cleaning up. Let me say tonight, God, grant that.
Amen.
Believing that God's mindful of every need.
Amen.
It may come right exactly to where we're at.
Amen.
Amen. But if we'll meet him, you believe that?
Amen.
Like blind Bartimaeus said, thou son of David,
yes,
have mercy on me. And it drew him right to that need. He's the same Lord God tonight. Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we rest in this, that, Lord, you know every need, you know every situation, you know every heart. And so, Father, we pray that, God, for every need that, Lord, that is gathered here, oh God, here tonight. Lord, every one of us, Lord, you know, oh God, where each of us are at, Lord. Father, you know, Lord God, for those, Lord, that you're calling, Lord, and drawing to lay down their life. Lord, to repent, to surrender their life to you. God, that you could be the Lord in their life. Lord, that you would, Lord, do for them what they look at others and see as a mystery. Oh, God, I pray tonight, Father, may you just, Lord, just move for that heart, that life, Lord. As you, Lord, you never just come and just stir us up. You don't tease us, Lord. You're a gentleman. What you come and you speak to our hearts, you come to fulfill. And Father, throughout here tonight, Lord, dear God, no doubt, Lord Jesus, Lord, lives, Lord, as we stand here and asking God in a renewal, Lord, to rededicate our lives afresh to you, Lord. As you spoke to us last night, Lord, on that drink offering, Lord. God, with pouring out our lives, this is our desire, Lord, is that our lives might be laid down for you, Lord. For truly, Lord, as you said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. Oh, Father, our desire is to lose our life now that we might find it. We don't want to find our life. We don't want to live, Lord, right now and for the world, Lord, and dilly-dallying here, Lord, and in and out here. But God, we want to surrender our life, Lord. Knowing that, Lord God, that Father, Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, are able to plant us, oh God, in that seal, Lord God, that is able to give us, Lord, the strength, Lord, that we have need of, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, that God, here tonight, Lord, may it just be a real refreshing, Lord. And we realize, Lord, when we leave out of here tonight, Father, I believe, God, that, Lord, for most of us, I don't know, Lord, God, each and every one, I don't know how long, Lord, that they've been coming, Lord, but Father, I believe that we know enough, Lord God. I believe, Lord, even the ministry, Lord, that they've been setting under, we recognize, Lord, that these are not things, Lord God, that just at the snap of the finger, but God, you make us aware of things in our life, God. And Father, that we would have a real expectation for change, Lord God, and expecting, Lord, a change, expecting that grace to give us the strength, Lord, to live and to master, Lord, in those areas of our life, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God, for truly, Lord, if we're grafted into that tree of life, oh God, born of that life, Lord God, then we can expect, Lord God, that strain of predestination, Lord, to move itself through our life, Lord, and give us the grace, Lord, that we have need of, Lord, to live overcoming's life, oh God, and to subdue things, Lord God, that Father, Lord, maybe have existed, Lord, for generations, Lord, cycles, Lord, that has been on, but God, you call us, Lord, to that time, oh God, to break a cycle, Lord God. And Father, we recognize that, Lord, it's not by our strength, Lord, but it's by our yielding to you, Lord, that your strength, Lord, is made perfect in our weakness, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord. Oh God, recognizing, Lord, how, Lord, that the greatness, Lord, of just in humility, resting and trusting in you, Lord, knowing that you're mindful, Lord, of every need, oh God. I pray tonight, Father, grant it, Lord. May, Lord Jesus, we be that, Lord, that receiving, oh God, of the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And Father, Lord Jesus, taking account of our lives and expecting, oh God, that change, oh Lord Jesus. For Lord, we're looking for one of these days to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye.
And Father, we're expecting, oh God, the changing, Lord God, not only of our bodies, but God, we expect that change as you're dealing with our lives, changing us from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh Lord, it's not the work of man. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. Father, we believe that, oh God. And Lord, we're resting in you tonight. May you just bless and refresh your people, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we sing that song, Let Go and Let God Have His Way? Let go, let God have his way.
Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Oh, let go and let God have his way. Your sorrows will vanish. Your night turn to day. Let go and let God have his way. Oh, let go and let God have his way. Let go and let God have his way.
Let go and let God have his way. Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me that great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, so rich and free. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, and free.
Sing, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Before we dismiss, I have like the brothers come forth to take up an offering.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us a fine place of good family. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy of word and night. Lord, pray for us again in our soul. Lord, give us some good morning. Lord, you pray with us tonight. Pray with us tomorrow. We come back. Pray that you bless us all.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Also, a reminder that that the time goes back tonight. So remember that. I didn't want to be, well, it wouldn't hurt to come too early to church. Amen. Let's continue singing that song. Thank you for serving me.